Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A draft Brexit agreement has been struck between the EU and the UK. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Santarelli. Good morning. And we're going to start off with the markets because they're rejoicing at the prospect of 3 years' worth of uncertainty possibly coming to a close. That said, let's do the numbers. Pound sterling is rallying against the US dollar on that announcement from EU Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker as the two-day EU summit kicks off in Brussels. The EU had warned that the summit would be the last chance for the UK to avoid a delay or an economically damaging no-deal scenario. We'll bring you more details about their draft Brexit agreement as it comes in. Now let's turn to Spain, which, like the UK, is facing its own political divisions. Barcelona, the regional capital for Catalonia, has been hit by a third night of violent protests. The city, which welcomed 16 million visitors last year, saw police attacked with petrol bombs and acid, and rioters set fire to cars. The unrest was triggered after 9 people were jailed over their role in Catalonia's failed bid to break away from Spain and become independent. The BBC's Guy Hedgeco in Barcelona told us that tourism is already being affected.
The central Barcelona is normally full of tourists, people with, you know, shopping bags or suitcases. The last 3 nights it hasn't been like that at all. It has been filled with burning garbage containers, masked demonstrators and riot police. So I think for tourists that's a real shock. That's not the Barcelona they expected.
In terms of the protests, how much of this stems also from inequality or economic disparity between Catalonia and the rest of Spain?
Well, the economic issue is a complicated one because Catalonia is the biggest economy of all the regions in Spain. And one of the grievances that pro-independence Catalans have is that all of the tax revenues that are collected in Catalonia are sent back to the central government in Madrid. That is a big concern for Catalans because Catalonia is much more wealthy, for example, than a region like Extremadura, which is a more rural region where there's a lot of farming, for example. Now, Extremadura is, as far as Catalans see it, being subsidized by the Catalan region. So the richer regions are sending money back to Madrid. Madrid is redistributing that money to poorer regions.
So what's next? Can Spain offer Catalonia even more autonomy, or are we facing a Spanish version of Brexit?
I think, you know, the Brexit comparison is perhaps a good one in that for over half a decade, this tension between Madrid and the Catalan region has been dominating Spanish politics, particularly over the last 2 years. But there doesn't seem to be any end in sight to it. And it's hard to see what they can talk about at a negotiating table that would really bring an end to this crisis. So I think it's going to last for quite a long time.
The BBC's Guy Hedgeco in Barcelona, thank you.
Thanks very much. It's a pleasure.
Now, Nestlé is a familiar brand to many of us. It makes Nescafe coffee, Kit Kat chocolates, and my personal favorite, Maggi noodles. But it was actually pet food and baby formula that helped lift sales in the first 9 months of the year. The Swiss company reported better than expected results today and is flush with cash after selling off some underperforming businesses. But it's their plans for a massive $20 billion share buyback over the next 2 years that has the markets most excited. The BBC's Stephen Ryan reports.
Nestlé shares are trading at record levels. Its overall market value has increased by almost $80 billion over the last 3 years. Much of that credit is due to CEO Mark Schneider, a German-American businessman. He's the first company outsider to hold Nestlé's top job in almost 100 years and has undertaken a sweeping restructure. That includes buying more than 20 companies, axing about 4,000 jobs in the US, and he sold off their skin health businesses to private equity for just over $10 billion. Now investors are set to see the fruits of Mr. Schneider's financial labours through share buybacks worth $20 billion. But the company says it could scale back this plan if it finds a better use for the cash to expand its business. I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
Distribution of Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service is supported by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles, with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivecommercial.com.
There are thousands of hydroelectric dams being built around the world. While useful for our energy needs, they are also causing serious environmental and cultural damage. The BBC's Claire Williamson has been looking at both positive and negative impacts of the so-called clean energy.
The floodgates of the Iluzu Dam in Turkey were opened this summer, and the waters will soon submerge the ancient town of Hasankeyf on the banks of the River Tigris. Residents like this man had until this week to evacuate, but he's not happy about leaving his home.
They took our place from us. We make our living off of husbandry, but we can no longer feed our livestock because we don't have a place. It's tough. They built a place for us, but it's worthless as we cannot feed our animals.
The Iluzu Dam is a prestige showpiece for the Turkish government, set to provide electricity for 1.3 million homes and add $250 million a year to the economy. But opponents say the price is too high, displacing thousands, submerging archaeological treasures and creating potential water shortages downstream in Iraq. Dr. Barnaby Dye is from the University of Manchester.
Of all dams, there's always this trade-off. So yes, there might be very serious environmental consequences. In the western states, you have a large numbers of cities and farming areas in these quite desert conditions. But if you didn't have dams, you probably wouldn't have the large economy of California, cities like Las Vegas.
Much of the dam building is happening in Asia, with 11 dams planned on the world's 12th largest river, the Mekong. There are fear that some fish stocks, on which thousands of livelihoods depend, will not survive in the reservoirs of the dams. Paidites is with International Rivers in Bangkok.
One of the most devastating impacts would be on the fish migration, which means the loss and decline of fisheries and fish stock, particularly in the lower basin in Thailand, Laos, Cambodia and Vietnam. And if these fish are killed, it's killed, right? And extinction happened only one time.
The Paris Climate Accord has seen a new push for hydroelectric power, which is believed to be carbon neutral. But the jury is out on whether it's sustainable. I'm the BBC's Claire Williamson for Marketplace.
Before we go, let's recap some breaking news. British and EU officials say they've reached an agreement on a new draft Brexit deal, but the crucial DUP Unionist Party in Northern Ireland still oppose the deal. In London, I'm Lisa Santarelli with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.